al concierto en Berlín asistieron 450 mil personas. Y es un placer saludar al señor Waters, quien además de su bellísima música, pues lidera causas por todo el mundo. Causas como, por ejemplo, comentar la situación que vive el pueblo palestino en su conflicto con Israel. Mr. Waters, welcome to W Radio from Colombia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Remember, in this concert, it's possible to do another concert against the situation that is living the Palestinians.
What's your name?
It's Julio.
Julio. Where would you suggest I do that, Julio?
I suggest to do it in the limit, in one country that limits with Israel and Gaza. Maybe in Jordan, could be, huh?
Possible. In Amman, yeah.
It's a beautiful concert. So maybe Mr. Netanyahu, when see a 500,000 or 1,000,000 people, will understand that it's enough, huh?
I doubt that, Julio, because Mr. Netanyahu, if he has eyes in his head, must know that there are 5 or 6 billion of us all over the world who are already standing in the streets decrying what the state of Israel has been doing since 1948 in the Middle East. So I doubt that Mr. Netanyahu would take much notice of anything that I and fellow musicians did. But if it happens, we will see.
So you will think about it?
Yeah. Of course, I've been thinking about very little else for the last several years, because the time will come when there will be, I suspect, a rock and roll concert somewhere in the world. And that's why I asked you the question, because I've been thinking about it myself. And when that time comes, I will definitely be there. It's because it's something I've been, as I say, I've been thinking about a lot.
99% of the countries in the world think that the Palestinians deserve a country, deserve a state.
Yeah.
How can you explain that just with the 1%, Israel don't let them to have their country?
Well, as you know, it's a long story, and it goes back way before 1917 and the letter that Lord Balfour wrote to Lord Rothschild then, which is the Balfour Declaration, suggesting that the British government was in favour of the creation of some kind of a state for Jewish people in the Middle East. What we have to remember is that in 1917, we were still in the death throes of the British Empire. The British Empire was the preeminent and most powerful empire in the world in those days, and unfortunately had a great deal of sway. And that was 50 or 60 years after the start of the Zionist movement, and this idea of creating a new state in Palestine, in historic Palestine. It was a terrible idea always. And since they started on this project in the 20s and the 30s, it went on being a bad idea. And then after the Second World War in 47 and 48 with the Erdogan gang and the stuff, and coming to the end of the British mandate, although it was still a terrible idea, it was brought about through terrorism and violence and murder and mayhem and the Nakba in 1948, when 700,000 or 800,000 Palestinians were ejected from their homes and told to go and live somewhere else or die. And so that story The story didn't start, but the Nachema was in 1948, has been going on ever since. And yes, of course, the Palestinians should have a state. It was a great shame that we, the Western powers, including the United States and the United Kingdom, where I'm from, interfered with historic Palestine. And that's why we're in the mess we are today. But it's also extremely unfortunate that Netanyahu and Ben-Gavir and the other crazed settler right-wingers are a crazy religious supremacist cult. And that is what the state of Israel is today. And they are trying to commit ethnic cleansing, and they are committing genocide on the people of Palestine. So the short-term answer or possibility for an end to this appalling state of affairs is to go back to the pre-67 borders and declare a new state of Palestine that is the West Bank and Gaza, basically. But obviously all the settlers, there are 750,000, I believe, now of them in the West Bank, would need to move back to what has been accepted by the United Nations as the state of Israel. And we could all make a new start. But first and foremost...
Let me translate that, Roger. I'm really sorry to interrupt. I'm going to translate that really quickly. Pues le recuerda este concierto, Julio, que sonó al inicio de la entrevista, y le pregunta que si puede haber otro concierto, tal vez en Jordania, en Amán, en contra de la situación que se vive con los palestinos. Y pues él dice que es una buena idea, que es una idea que tiene en su mente desde hace mucho tiempo. Es algo que él quisiera hacer, que lo ha pensado mucho, y él cree que es algo que a lo mejor en un concierto de rock and roll se lleve a cabo, y él va a estar ahí porque pues sí es una idea que viene pensando y que le viene rondando en la cabeza, aunque no cree que Netanyahu pues se vaya a convencer por este millón o millón y medio de personas que puedan asistir a este concierto, teniendo en cuenta que viene cometiendo esto desde 1948, es una situación que en Medio Oriente viene pasando, así que pues no cree que este concierto tenga un efecto. Y pues también le preguntan sobre la creación de un Estado palestino, porque pues le preguntaba a Julio que el 99% de los países en el mundo está de acuerdo con crear este Estado, ¿por qué solo con el 1% de Israel no se deja crear este Estado? Y él dice que es una historia bastante larga, que se remonta a 1917 con una carta de declaración del gobierno británico, que en ese momento tenía mucho poder, era el imperio británico más poderoso en el mundo, era el imperio más poderoso del mundo, entonces tenía un poder de persuasión mucho más grande, y ahí surgió esta idea de que pues se le diera este territorio a Israel. Y desde entonces nos dice que se ha visto este movimiento sionista que se creó en los 50s, en los 60s, de crear este Estado israelí en Palestina, lo cual para él siempre fue una idea terrible, y pues desde ese entonces estamos viendo la situación que viven los palestinos en este entonces. Pues la idea para él, por supuesto, es esa, crear un Estado palestino, pero nos dice que pues sería este territorio de Cisjordania, donde fueron removidos hace mucho tiempo.
Mr. Waters, but do you think that this is a thing that should be resolved inside United Nations? Because there are also two big powers behind this non-creation of the Palestinian state. The United States that is supporting Israel. And on the other hand, we have, let's say, Russia and China that is supporting Iran and also, well, the Palestinian people.
So what? I'm not sure what your question... Of course, you know, the first thing that has to happen, Julio, and it's not going to happen tomorrow, and it may not happen in my lifetime, we will see. It's a point I've been making for years and years, is that the United Nations has to be reformed. The power of veto of the five original founding members in the Security Council has to go, because it's completely undemocratic. As we know, the United Nations General Assembly has voted overwhelmingly on many, many occasions for the creation and confirmation of the state of Palestine from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. Unfortunately, the state of Palestine there is interrupted at the moment by what is already called the State of Israel. So we will see. But
the voice that
move is always vetoed by the United States in the Security Council. So that is the problem. The United Nations must be reformed because it's completely undemocratic.
Pues le pregunta a Juan Pablo por las Naciones Unidas y el rol que debe tener, porque pues hay dos superpoderes detrás de todo esto, Estados Unidos que apoya a Israel y Rusia y China que apoyan a Irán e Irán también que apoyan a los palestinos. Él pues dice que lo primero que tiene que pasar, que no va a pasar mañana, a lo mejor no lo vea cuando él esté vivo, es pues esa reforma en las Naciones Unidas, algo que él viene diciendo desde hace varios años. Nos dice que el poder de veto de los 5 miembros fundadores en el Consejo de Seguridad debe removerse, debe irse, no es democrático. La Asamblea General ya ha votado en muchas ocasiones confirmando su apoyo al Estado palestino y pues desde el río Jordania hasta el mar Mediterráneo, y eso interrumpido ahora por el Estado de Israel. Pero nos dice que ese movimiento del veto por parte de los Estados Unidos y los miembros del Consejo de Seguridad se ha convertido en un problema, así que por eso para él la solución es que las Naciones Unidas sean reformadas.
Mr. Waters, I want to go from the Middle East to Venezuela. Despite the many accusations against Nicolas Maduro for oppression of the people, political prisoners, and dictatorship, you asked Venezuelans to vote for him last year. Having seen what happened with the elections, do you still support the Maduro regime?
Isn't it interesting how difficult it is to find any real news if you live in the United States or the United Kingdom or across most of Europe? Because as we know, the media is in the pocket, and pockets and deep pockets they are, of the oligarchs. So how does one find out, get any semblance of truth about what may or may not have happened over the last 20 or 30 years in the country of Venezuela? I read everything that I can all the time about it. And as far as I can tell, the Venezuelan people have heroically survived the attacks of the sanctions from the West, exacerbated, I have to say, by Barack Obama when he was president, and claimed that Venezuela was a national security threat to the United States of America, which I think he did in 2015, which is 10 years ago now. It's very difficult, but from everything I've read and from having visited Venezuela and done shows there several times, and from speaking to people who were there in 2019 when they tried to for a regime change coup, and they tried to impose Guaido as the new president, and he was recognized as the president of Venezuela in Washington, D.C., against all the evidence as to what was happening in the elections in Venezuela. So I support the Bolivarian Revolution. I supported Chavez when he was alive. And until somebody shows me anything different in terms of real evidence, I will support the Maduro government, because he represents the will and the wishes of the majority of Venezuelan citizens. And so all of those Venezuelans in the communards, in all those districts who all help each other and they live in a socialist society, I support them wholeheartedly, and I will continue to do so.
Le preguntan sobre la situación en Venezuela, sobre las recientes elecciones y su apoyo a Nicolás Maduro. Dice que es interesante porque es muy difícil encontrar una noticia real cuando se vive en los Estados Unidos, en el Reino Unido, en Europa, porque los medios pues están en los bolsillos de todos, y sobre todo de los oligarcas. Entonces es muy difícil encontrar la verdad de lo que pasa o no en los últimos 30 o 20 años en Venezuela. Él siempre lee todo lo que puede sobre el tema y puede decir sobre los venezolanos, sobre lo que han vivido y sobrevivido a esas sanciones de Occidente, que lo llama heroico. Nos dice que desde que Barack Obama estuvo en el poder diciendo que Venezuela era una amenaza para los Estados Unidos, exacerbando esas sanciones en contra de ese país hace 10 años, es muy difícil para ellos y han sobrevivido a todo eso. Pero pues, según lo que él ha leído de las visitas que ha hecho a Venezuela, hablando con la gente en el 2019, nos dice que pues trataron de hacer ese golpe en contra del presidente, tratando de imponer a Guaidó, reconocido incluso por Washington, en contra de la evidencia de lo que estaba pasando en esas elecciones. Entonces él apoya esa revolución bolivariana, apoyó a Chávez cuando estaba vivo, y pues él va a seguir apoyando a Maduro hasta que alguien le presente esa evidencia de que eso no es lo que quieren la mayoría de los venezolanos, porque nos dice que la mayoría de los venezolanos quieren y están de acuerdo con ese gobierno.
Mr. Waters, what do you think about the mass deportations under this administration, Trump's administration, especially considering this potential human rights violations involved?
Well, it's going to be a huge disaster, obviously, but we just have to sit and watch it unfold. I'm no supporter of Trump. I'm not going to go into a great diatribe about Trump, but let's see what happens. One thing that will happen if he gets his way and deports everybody who he claims is an illegal immigrant into the United States, is there won't be anybody to do any of the work that they've been doing all these years for pennies. Let's not forget that the minimum wage under federal law in the United States of America is $7.75 an hour. It's a pittance. So most of these people have been living in poverty in the United States anyway. But let's see. Let's see what happens. And while we're talking about Maduro, it's a graphic choice between Maduro and somebody and the opposition. Can't remember the woman's name, or Fernandez, the guy. Graphic. It's a bit like when you're in Brazil. Is the choice between Bolsonaro and Lula? Yes, it is. I'm for Lula every time. In Colombia, is it between Duque and Gustavo Petro? Yes, it is. I support the current president in Colombia. I'm always going to support the leader who cares about the gente, about the people, and who believes in socialism and who believes in the Bolivarian revolution. And that's the way it is. And we are in a fight, an existential fight for the soul of the human race, not just an economic fight for people for equal economic and human rights, but for the soul, because our governments have been supporting the genocide of the Palestinian people. And and to do that is unforgivable.
Le pregunta Juan Esteban desde Washington sobre esas deportaciones masivas que estamos viendo que está adelantando el gobierno de Donald Trump y esas violaciones a los derechos humanos que están denunciando. Responde que es un desastre mayor y que así va a ser, hay que sentarse y verlo desarrollar. Él no apoya a Donald Trump, no va a pues extenderse mucho hablando sobre él, pero nos dice que simplemente quiere esperar a ver qué pasa si se sale con la suya y deporta a todos los que dice que son ilegales en los Estados Unidos. Nos dice que pues el salario mínimo en los Estados Unidos es de $7.75, es muy poco. La mayoría de las personas que viven con ese salario en los Estados Unidos viven en la pobreza, entonces hay que ver quién va a hacer ese trabajo que están haciendo esos inmigrantes. Nos dice que hay que esperar a ver qué pasa. Y mientras que hablamos de Maduro, nos dice que es gráfico en una elección lo que pasa entre Maduro y la oposición. Por ejemplo, en Brasil lo que pasa entre Bolsonaro y Lula, él siempre va a apoyar a Lula. En Colombia, entre Duque y Petro, nos dice que apoya al actual presidente de Colombia, siempre apoyará a esa gente y a esos líderes del socialismo que creen en la revolución bolivariana. Dice que estamos en una pelea por la existencia, por la raza humana, por el alma. No es tanto la economía de la gente y la igualdad, pero el alma, porque nuestros gobiernos están apoyando ese genocidio a los palestinos y pues eso no puede tener perdón.
Mr. Waters, I'm asking this question from Beijing. You know that there is a lot going on between US, Russia, and also China. How close is humanity to a nuclear war, in your opinion?
Much too close. Clearly, we those of us who care about humanity must put our shoulders to the wheel jointly to try and nudge the world towards the idea that the planet must be unipolar. Not unipolar, I'm sorry, exactly the opposite, multipolar. We cannot live in a world where there is one dominant empire, which is what we've been living through since the Second World War, with the American Empire in the ascendancy. And they have brought nothing but death and destruction to us, we, the people of the world, and profits to the oligarchs who run America, who own America, who own the media, and who own the Congress, and who own the White House, and have done since the Second World War. So we are all involved in that battle. And that is why I'm so encouraged by the people of the world taking to the streets and standing shoulder to shoulder in support of our brothers and sisters in Palestine.
Mateo, última pregunta para el señor Waters, Mateo.
Claro que sí, Julio. Pues yo quisiera preguntarle, y obviamente teniendo en cuenta que él es uno de los mejores letristas de toda la música del rock, considerado por muchos de esa manera, quiero entender un poco pues esos mensajes de unidad y diversidad y qué le falta más a la música para efectuar esos cambios en épocas tan turbulentas. So, Mr. Waters, we know that you are one of the best lyricists in rock music, so we have seen recently in the past Grammy Awards all these messages of unity and diversity, but what do you think that it's missing in music for making music more effective at the times that are so turbulent, so complicated?
If you start talking to me about the Grammys, you're talking to the wrong guy. I know nothing about the Grammys at all. And I'm frankly, I don't care. It's something to do with the industry, and I've no idea what it's about, frankly. And people... Anybody who wants to make music, it's always been the same. It'll never be any different. You need to look into your heart and you need to write the truth. And you need to write with love for your brothers and sisters. And if you do that, you might create something meaningful. And who knows? Who knows? It's not my area of expertise, really, music. It's been my workplace for all of these years, and I'm so lucky to have been allowed to do what I love, because I love to write and I love to share my feelings with others. And I've loved doing all the tours that I've done all over the world. I love appearing in front of my friends, my audiences, the people everywhere. So I've been very, very lucky. And anyone who can, follow a similar path, actually, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to pay to hundreds of thousands of people. You can be down the pub with five people gathered around a piano, and you can share your love for one another by singing and playing music. So I don't know what else to say.
Mr. Waters, thank you very much for your time. It's an honor to have you in our show. We hope to see you in Amman or in Bogota, wherever you want.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Yeah, Bogota is a good idea.
Okay. We'll see you in Bogota. Roger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Resumen ejecutivo, muy ejecutivo, Grace.
Sí, señor. Le preguntan sobre qué tan cerca estamos a una guerra nuclear. Dice que muy cerca, claramente, a los que les importa la humanidad y tratando de hacer un mundo mejor, pues la idea es tener un mundo multipolar, porque no se puede vivir con un imperio dominante, lo cual ha pasado desde la Segunda Guerra Mundial y ha demostrado ser un fracaso. Y también hablando sobre los Grammys, sobre la música y la industria musical, cómo hacer para que esa música impacte mucho más. Dice que hacer música desde el corazón, a él no le importan los Grammys, le importa pues expresar sus sentimientos, compartir eso, y no tiene que ser ni siquiera con un público tan grande como los de él, puede ser en un piano sentado con cinco personas.